This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, popular speaker, and the author of 20 books, including a new book, Feminist Fantasies, that reveals the feminist influence in the media, on college campuses, and right in your children's classrooms. And now here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Most of the controversy about President Bush's plan for comprehensive immigration reform has centered around amnesty for 12 million illegal aliens currently in the United States. However, those 12 million are almost a drop in the bucket compared to the plan to import and legalize new immigrants under the deceitful words temporary and guest worker. Those words are lies because the new immigrants will not be temporary and will not be guests. We are indebted to the Heritage Foundation for its stunning report proving that the Senate immigration bill is really a stealth open borders bill that would import permanently and put on the path to citizenship at least 66 million people, with the actual number rising to two or three times that number when they bring in their relatives. Every category of legal immigration will be dramatically increased. The so-called temporary workers will get the right to remain in the United States permanently if they have learned English or are just enrolled in an English class, and will get the right to become a U.S. citizen who can vote in U.S. elections. At the same time, the guest worker's spouse and children, without any numeric limits, will get legal permanent residence and citizenship. After the so-called temporary workers and their spouses become citizens, they acquire the right to bring in their parents as permanent residents on the path to citizenship. Siblings and adult children and their families will be given preference in future admissions. This Senate bill is the most monumentally expensive bill ever considered. Its mind-boggling costs would be the largest ever expansion of taxpayer-paid social benefits. The Senate bill would make 25% of our population foreign-born within 20 years, most of them high school dropouts, and the United States as we know it would no longer exist.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Do you believe corporations should be allowed to lay off American citizens and replace them with foreign workers at half the pay? Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 for free information on what's happening to American jobs. That's Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002, or go online to eagleforum.org. And join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Heavyweight in the fight against illegal immigration and defender of the First and Second Amendment rights, straight from the ghetto, the prisoner of South Central, Terry Anderson.
What's with this Terry Anderson guy?
He's articulating a popular rage.
Stupid people of America, good evening. If you ain't mad, you ain't paying attention. When you invade a country with numbers so vast that they cannot be ignored, you must expect people to be angry, be very angry. If you break that down into a local level, and you invade a city, and you take away the jobs of those people in that city, and you create an imbalance in the school system to the point of a learning deficit, you will then create racial animosity and racial tension when the new people won't hire, won't buy from, won't sell to, and will not support in any way the people who were already there. This is part two of my monologue from last week, folks, and it will show what is happening in the black communities all across the country, but especially in Los Angeles and Washington, D.C. Now, I know it's not just black communities. Some Hispanic communities are under attack, some white communities are under attack, and just American communities in general are under attack. But the point is, some are hit closer and harder than others and sooner than others. And that has been the case with the black community here in the United States. When Mayor Tony Villar, a.k.a. Antonio Pancho Villaraigosa, was campaigning, he went somewhere he had never been in his life. You know what that was? He went to the black community. That's right. And he went to the very people that he knew he could get in his corner the easiest. He went to the handkerchief-head black preachers who churches now mostly have Spanish-speaking congregations in them on Saturdays. You hear what I'm saying? It's about the money. All of them have got Saturday services in Spanish. Not by that church. They got another church that moves in there and takes over on Saturdays. Tony Villar, in order to get the votes of naive black folks, assured them that his administration would be, quote, colorblind, unquote. Since then, nothing has changed except to get worse. Hispanics now make up 45% of Los Angeles, 45 million people. Excuse me, 10 million people. Even the predominantly black South Central Los Angeles, where I live, is now majority Hispanic. And I will ask that question. It's a huge question. It should have 100 letters in it, but it's only got 3. Why? Why is this happening? It is happening because of the illegal alien invasion. That is why. Let's do the math here, folks. Hispanic illegal aliens have taken over our city and other cities. Our mayor told them in May that they have a right to be here and that he is one of them and he is with them. Now, how are we going to believe that this guy is colorblind? He's not, and we won't believe it because he is for his own. He is as much a racist as any of the rest of these people in these racist organizations like MALDEF, LULAC, and the National Council of the Race. Some Hispanics, understand what I say because they are Americans just like I am. But these newly arrived, these people that come here with no love for us, they are on his side and he is on theirs, and that is not correct. He has shown that many, many times, and he has shown it that he is not colorblind. Now, some Hispanics were gunned down on 29th and Central a few weeks ago. Terrible incident. My heart goes out to their families. The mayor attended the wake and put up a huge reward for the capture of the perpetrators, as he should. But he has been a deaf mute on the racial hate crime murders of blacks by Hispanics in Highland Park, Hawaiian Gardens, and other cities too numerous to name in this short broadcast. Not one word has been mentioned about those victims because they were black. That's right, and I'll say it. The mayor is a racist. He doesn't care about black families. Oh, he might go out now when he gets wind of this. But you know what? Up to now, he hasn't done it because he only cares about those who look like him. But what's even more disturbing than that is that there has been no outrage over those black murders by the same handkerchief head leaders and black preachers that he bamboozled while running for office. They should be angry at him because they threw their lot in with him, and he has not been colorblind. He has not stood by all races equally. What he has done is represent his own race and only his race. He has not represented us. But no, these black leaders will not stand up and call it like it is. You know why? Because they have been bought off. They've had the money put in their hand. They've had some advantage that we don't get. They've been given some kind of power. And that's outrageous, absolutely outrageous. Now, every once in a while, they throw out a few bones to us to keep us quiet, keep the stupid Negroes quiet, trying to pacify us and make us think everything is all right. Racist Assembly Speaker Fabian Nunez said that as Hispanics assume political clout, and they will, and they have, and they continue to, he said that they must remain sensitive to the needs of other communities. He said, quote, we have to make sure that African Americans stay with us every step of the way and are not left out. It's part of the message of social responsibility, unquote. No, the message of social responsibility is that you stop illegal invasions when they take place. The message of social responsibility is that you do not ever, ever, ever allow one race to be placed against the other or above the other, because that is not the American way. The message of social responsibility is to make sure that all Americans who are legally here have the advantage over those who come here illegally, even if they happen to be illegally in a country and of the race that you are as a politician. But that is not the case here in California. They are running over us like crazy. They are taking over every major position. They are the Speaker of the House. They are mayors of big cities. They're going to run for governors. They are going to take over. And I'm not saying I don't want a Hispanic politician. I know many, many Hispanics that I would vote for. But not these. These guys are race hustlers and racist pimps. That's what they are. They are pimps, and we are their whores. We work for them, and we keep them in office because they make promises to us that they do not keep. In every single speech that I have heard Nunez say, in every single thing that he has ever written that I've seen, he has never once mentioned us at any one time. Never. He has never mentioned us, and he is only doing it now because he's being forced to. I will repeat it again. It is the numbers that are making them strong and making us weak. The numbers are what is creating the very same racial prejudice as when whites would not hire blacks. There is no difference whatsoever. None. And if this was happening today, these black handkerchief head preachers and these so-called leaders, civil rights leaders, would be screaming, no justice, no peace. But the fact that it's not whites doing it to us, it's okay. We don't mind, because they're minorities. Yeah, stick it to me deep, as long as you're not a white man. Isn't that stupid? That's as stupid as it gets. It really is. I don't get it. When white folks wouldn't hire us, our leaders were on top of it. Now they turn a deaf eye. Deaf eye? Yeah, that's about the way of it. Recently, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission secured two settlements against a meat packer and an insurance company for discrimination in not hiring black people in the city of Los Angeles. In each case, and in other cases, every single time the hiring official was a Hispanic. That is racism. There's no other word for it. That is racism. And this will continue to get worse and worse and worse. And as the numbers continue to increase, not only will it not get better for us, they'll even stop telling us lies about how they love us. Because guess what? They won't have to. Their numbers will be so high they will laugh when we make complaints and say, take it. Like it or lump it. Because this is who we are. We've got the power. They are after the power. They're going to continue to go after the power. My people, my black American people with no hyphen, we never wanted to take over anything. We only wanted our fair share of the pie of the United States and our fair share of the American dream. That's all we wanted. We didn't want to take over. These people are trying to take over this country. Oh, I take that back. I misspoke. They are taking over the country. And we are helping them by not fighting their racism. I will repeat again. There are lots of Hispanics I would vote for, but not any of these racist bastards that I just mentioned. Never. You must be on guard. And especially you black folks out there. What are you thinking? You are losing every stride you ever made in this country. You are going to be last again. We have always been last. The only difference now is we're third instead of second. This is the Terry Anderson Show on the All American Radio Network.
Most Americans want government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But some politicians want to do away with borders entirely, and they have a plan for doing it. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, a roadmap for economic and political fusion of our hemisphere. If approved, Americans will lose control of their own future. Go to stoptheftaa.org, then tell Congress to say no to the FTAA.
The Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion. You know why we do? Because nobody else will. Well, they're starting to. We made it safe. George Putnam and me and Savage and a few others, we made it safe for the rest of them to start doing it. I remember when they talked bad about us because we were against this invasion, but now everybody's on deck with us. That's great. I'll take it. Little late, but better late than never. I want to welcome everybody to the Terry Anderson Show. Remind you, if you have friends or relatives who cannot hear the sound of our voice, they can hear us live by going to our website. That's theterryandersonshow.com. I want to welcome all the good folks tonight listening at KDWN. Could possibly be our last night there in Vegas, folks. I'll talk about that later. And I want to welcome all the folks listening on the RBN Network. I hope you folks aren't playing a rerun like you did last week. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, we welcome you and we thank the RBN Network. Let me give out that call number. Those who want to call, agree, disagree, curse me out, but don't forget you get all that you give and then some. That number is 1-866-870-5752. That's 1-866-870-5752.
And now it's time for the most horriblest clown of the week.
Yes, it is time for the most horriblest clown of the week. Friday, the Attorney General of the United States, Alberto Gonzalez. speaking at a forum in Santa Clara, California, reaffirmed why he was appointed to the position in the first place. He's a Bush lackey and aids Bush in his attempt to hispander at any level possible, speaking about the Senate and the House immigration bills that have passed, respectively. He said, quote, "We do have competing legislation." Duh. "Now it's up to a conference committee to work out the differences. But it is something that needs to happen, and it needs to happen this year. We're still hopeful despite the fact that it's an election year," end quote. Now, folks, I can see two reasons why the Attorney General wants to fix and fix it this year, the problems with immigration. His president's numbers are in the toilet. They're actually in the pipe that's under the toilet, actually. That's number one. And number two, let's ask the question, would he be in such a hurry if these violators were not of the same race as him? I gotta ask him, would he not be against it if maybe these people were from Africa? Would he be wanting to deport them then? If they were a bunch of black Africans with their poverty coming over here, or a bunch of poor Eastern Europeans, or some people from Mongolia, would he be so quick to say, let's amnesty these people? I don't think so. Just my opinion. I'm entitled to that. I'm an American. I think for myself. And I believe that he's just as racist as the rest of them. And he would say, no, we got to put them out. But because they look, talk, and think like him, he wants to leave them all here. That is unbelievable to me. He went on to say, quote, "Some believe we should be focused solely on border security. I don't think you can have this, the true security, without taking into account the 11 to 12 million who are already here. We need to know who they are and take them out of the shadows," end quote. Yes, I agree. Yeah, let's take them out of the shadows and put them on a truck or a bus. Back to hell where they came from. I don't care what color, what race they are. Let's get them out of here. I agree with him on that. Let's get them out of the shadows and deport them. There it is, that D word again. Let's deport them. Let's get them out of here. I would ask the Attorney General of the United States to do the will of the people. I would ask him to enforce the laws of the people and put aside all racial and political concerns and considerations and just do the right thing for Americans like him. That's what I would ask, but you ain't going to get it. Alberto Gonzalez, the United States Attorney General, this week, you are the most horriblest clown of the week. All right, folks, let's get right to our guest. My buddy, and I don't say that too often, guy that I respect like you wouldn't believe, Frank George. Frank, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, very glad to be on your show this evening.
It is my privilege, buddy, as always. Anytime I see you, it's always a good deal. Folks, this is the guy that put on the Rumble at the Ranch down there in Crawford, Texas. He's got an announcement he wants to make tonight. Frank's going to be on TV this week all across the country, but he wants to tell you about the show before it happens. Frank, go ahead.
Okay, yeah, Terry, thanks to Les Blankhorn, your super, what am I saying, he's your producer. He was the one that introduced me to the 30 Days people, made it possible for me to appear on their show. It's going to be one episode that will air Wednesday, and that's July 26th at 10 p.m., and the topic is that I will be living with illegal aliens for 30 days.
Oh, that's good stuff. I love it. I love it.
Well, it's very beautifully produced. It's got a lot of passion and emotion to it. It's intellectually engaging. I do have a couple of knocks against the production. Number one, they did not let me have any say at the end at all. You know, Terry, I expect that if they're doing a documentary, they would want to know how I feel, and they would like to hear it straight from my lips.
Just to be fair.
Yep. They asked me off camera how I felt after spending all this time with the illegal aliens, and I said that I really liked them. They were wonderful people, but that my views had only changed in one way, and that is that I felt that the situation that we're in is much more desperate than I had ever imagined, and that for that reason, the big change in my life as a consequence of living with these folks for 30 days is that now, whereas before I was shy about knocking on the doors of politicians, I'm going to personally be banging on the doors of politicians in the towns of Palmdale, Rosemond, Lancaster, and Mojave. I cannot leave it to anybody else. I have to do it. And I think it's for that reason that they would not give me a say on camera, because I don't think it fit in with their agenda. And I hate to say that, because they were very good to me, but it becomes obvious to me that that is the case.
Well, we know what the agenda with these people. You know, I remember John and Ken read something somewhere about this show, and one of them said, well, why would anybody do this? Well, right away, when I heard it was you, I knew why you would do it. You do it for the exposure of the issue, and you would do it to be on the inside to point out to people what's going on. Now, we know editing is everything. They can edit it to make it look any way
they want. But when John and Ken said that, I believe it was John, I'm not sure, said, oh, this guy's just doing it for his 15 minutes of fame, and he's just doing it to be. And Frank, I know you a lot better than that. You have never looked. You put on the whole deal down there in Texas and never once popped your head up to say, hey, I'm the guy who did it, you know? And you're not that kind of guy. But tell the folks why. Exactly what was your motivation? In plain English, to kind of go against what John Ken said about you.
Okay, this is very simple. First of all, I had been approached beforehand, and I did not accept the offer two or three different times. I didn't even know what company was approaching me, and they approached other people also. And I didn't take anything seriously until your producer, Les Blankhorn, came to me and asked me about it. And I felt that it could be a good thing for our people. I also felt that there was a possibility that they might do me a wrong deed. I took all those things into account, and I felt that getting the media exposure for our side would be good, that I would be willing to fight for our side and not be bashful in doing so, and that there was much to gain because if I did the episode, I knew that I would have media approach me, and I would tell the truth about everything and anything that happened. And, you know, just a little bit of exposure that I have had so far has proven me right, and that there's an individual up here in the Antelope Valley that I've been trying to cultivate or get to join our side who's rather influential. And when he found out that I was involved in this episode, he came to me and he said, Frank, I'll help you take back these four towns that we got next to us. So right there, you know, there is a dividend. There is another aspect of this thing, Terry. Eventually, they would get somebody anyways.
That's right. So, and maybe it was somebody that we wouldn't want, because at least we know you're a stand-up guy. Now, whether they portray you that way is, you know, that's up to them. You have no control over that. But we know who you are, and we know what you're about. We've got your track record of what you've done in the past. So, therefore, we knew we had one of ours going in.
Correct, and I think that's very important because now there's an issue of accountability. You guys can come to me and you can ask me anything versus what you have seen on the screen. As opposed to someone who's completely unknown and not connected to anything. If we had run this as an intelligence operation, we could not have done it better. Because we got Les Blankhorn that tethers me to your show. You know me. We've worked and done things together before.
Yes, we have.
So, you know, if FX in 30 days winds up twisting the whole thing, we have recourse. I have recourse that I did not have before.
That's right.
And while it is brilliantly conceived, and very beautiful production. I must say that in the very beginning, when Morgan Spurlock introduces the episode, listen very carefully when you listen to when you watch the show. He says that I am an anti-immigrant Minuteman, and he also says that I am a vigilante. Now, what kind of folks have we heard use those words before?
Yeah, thank you. The opposition.
That's the opposition. So right there.
And Frank, let me say right quick for the record, he is a liar. On both counts of that, he is a liar. You are neither one of them. Although I know you might be anti-immigrant, Frank. I mean, you don't like anybody coming to this country from other countries. Is that possible?
I'm just anti-illegal immigration.
But explain to folks why you cannot be anti-immigrant.
I cannot be anti-immigrant because I myself am an immigrant.
There you go, folks. This man is an immigrant, and he's a Hispanic immigrant. Now, if they call him anti-immigrant, that's just wrong. None of us are anti-immigrant. We are anti-illegal invasion. And anybody, we don't care what country the people come from, we are anti that. Now, Frank, you went down to where these people were from, near Guadalajara, am I correct?
That is correct. That's one of the things that they did is that they flew me down there to take a look at where the family came from, what state of poverty they had been in that forced them to come to the United States.
And what city were they from? Where were they from?
They were from a little city called Tepatitlan.
Uh-huh.
Just on the outside of Jalisco, which is somewhere outside of Guadalajara.
Well, Jalisco is the state that Guadalajara is in. But so these were country people.
These were country people. They're very nice people. They're very wonderful people. But here again, we're doing the filming. They're showing me the house, which is a state of collapse. And they're doing the filming, and I'm saying, yeah, I can understand why they left, but you know, we have poverty in L.A. also.
Yes,
we
do.
People that don't have any place to sleep.
That's right.
And the producer says to me, okay, do it over again, but you know, we're in Mexico, so don't say anything about L.A. Well, guess what makes it into the cut? In all three cuts that I have seen, there's nothing about L.A. There's nothing about the many times that I said that this is a Mexican issue that is not meant to become an American issue.
Well, I want to tell folks they can go to our website, TerryAndersonShow.com. They can read your official statement there. There's a link to it. Your official statement about what you think about the finished product, what you think about those who worked on the production of the product, and how you feel about the way you were treated. Folks, I admonish you to go there to the TerryAndersonShow.com and read what Frank has to say. It's very important. It's right there at the top. Read what he has to say, because he will give you his words in his from his own mouth rather than listen to what somebody else has to say. Frank, we just got a couple of minutes left. What was the feel that you had from the people themselves, from the family?
The family understood that they were here under a wrong set of circumstances. They said that they came here for survival, that there was no way of them surviving down there, and that they actually understood if they got deported.
Well, you know what? I have been to Mexico many times. I recently got back from there this week. I have seen the poverty, no doubt about it. It is there. I also believe that's their problem to fix in their own country. They cannot come here to relieve that poverty in our country. They must have a revolution or whatever they got to do down there to fix it, because we did that once here. And we are fighting to keep our country as a first world country, and we cannot do it with their people running in here every other day. So as my heart goes out to the poverty and the things that I saw, and I was in Belize last week, folks, there's a lot of poverty there too, and that's all black folks. And guess what? They can't come here either, not illegally. I'm sorry, it's not going to happen as far as I'm concerned. But it doesn't matter how bad you're doing, Frank. It matters whether or not you break the law, and you must stay there and fight for what you need, not come here. You got to stay there and make your country into a place you won't run from. And I believe this. I believe most of those people do not come here because they're starving. They come here for the American dream. That's my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you 100%. And Brooke, who has a website called immigrationwatchdog.com, has a video that he wants for everybody to see. It's about an event that we attended where I was with Morgan Spurlock and the press was there. Again, that's immigrationwatchdog.com. Very interesting video that he took at that event.
Well, Frank, we want to applaud you for what you did. We really do. Now, this is going to be on Wednesday night, 11 p.m., excuse me, 10 and 11 p.m., right?
I'm told that it's 10 and 11 p.m., yes.
Yeah, that's all time zones. You can see this on the Fox Network.
Fox Network, it's actually Eastern and Pacific. I'm sorry, I probably put that information in there wrong. But it's Eastern and Pacific, 10 p.m. for sure, possibly 11 p.m.
Well, everybody watch it. We'll talk about it next week. I'm sure John and Ken will watch it. They'll have something to say also. And I think once they see you, they'll understand your motives a little better. They really didn't understand that. We know who you are, and we love you.
Thank you, Terry.
All right, buddy. We're going to have you back on. Keep up the good work. We appreciate you going. It is very important that you did this for us in this movement, but more important that you did it for America, because America is not being heard. It's just the demagogues, it's the politicians, and it's the racist hate groups who get the most press. We need some, too, and we need people to speak for us that know us, and you are one of them, and we appreciate what you did.
God bless you, Terry. Let's keep on fighting.
Take care, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All right. Frank George, what a guy, folks. Make sure you watch that. Fox Network, July 26, 10 p.m. and 11 p.m. Probably will repeat. You can get that in all time zones. It's good stuff. We really need to be involved. We're going to play our clip tonight. I'm going to play one I play all the time only because I mentioned him in the monologue. But here's a guy who says he's going to give a fair shake to everybody. He's going to make sure that more black judges are appointed and all this other stuff. But when he gives this speech, he doesn't mention this one time. Speaker of the California Assembly, Fabian Nunez. Am I early, Mike? I'm a minute early, folks. I look like an 8 here. Mike, that is an 8. It's not a 9. You got me, but that's okay, folks.
Get 10 people. 10 people ready to go with us to that march in Washington, D.C. in 96. And I guarantee you, just as we mobilized 150 people to the streets of Los Angeles in October 16th, we can mobilize 1 million people and bring Washington, D.C. to a standstill. And those rednecks that are out there making decisions for the betterment of their communities will think twice before they push forward anti-immigrant legislation against our community, and so that we can show our people that the time has come for us to come together on what brings us together instead of to sit down and bump heads. And so I ask everybody here, how many of you agree, if we can leave here with one thing today, that in 1996, we are going to Washington, D.C. on a mass mobilization there to bring Washington to a standstill so that they know that we're there and that we begin to put into place those things that are necessary to ensure that we advance.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Get a pen and paper ready for emergency storable food information. The attention of the nation is focusing on families storing emergency food in their homes. FEMA has recently proven that their fears of being unable to care for large numbers of people are justified. Hurricane relief in the South was a disaster. The system for tracking all food is now in place. There are numbered stickers on produce, grocery store ID cards track purchases, and now veterinarians will police the permitting and tagging of all livestock food production. The need to prepare has gone from a walk to a full-blown race. Major churches are telling their members, get food now. You'll never have to stand in a bread line if you have your own bread. For help with food supplies, call the J. Michael Stevens Group at 800-409-5633. That's 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. That's efoodsdirect.com.
Hi, this is John Statler, and I want to tell you about a new shortwave receiver that we're really excited about. It's the Kato KA1103, and let me tell you, this radio has features and performance of receivers costing 2 to 3 times the price. Features include dual conversion phase lock loop tuner for continuous coverage of the entire shortwave band, AM, FM, and medium bands, 268 memory presets, single sideband reception with fine-tuning control, signal strength, meter, battery, power indicator, DX local select, tone select, auto backlight screen, extra long telescopic antenna, line-out and external line-in jacks, and many other features too long to list. And when you purchase a Kato KA1103, you just don't get a radio, you get an entire radio package, including an external antenna, stereo earbuds, and an AC adapter, rechargeable batteries, and a nice carry pouch. So if you've been considering buying a shortwave receiver or would like to upgrade from your present radio, the KA1103 at just $110 plus $9 shipping is an outstanding value. Call us at 800-724-2719, 800-724-2719.
Introducing the world's best air purifier, the Aeronizer. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does. It's so powerful it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on the surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. Call 877-605-9200 or visit the website at www.aeronair.us.
Terry Anderson Show pen is the real deal. Sleek, refillable, laser engraved with a quote from yours truly. You'll spend all day making sure no one walks away with yours. Send your donations to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. That's the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. This is the Terry Anderson Show, and we talk about the illegal alien invasion, folks. I want to encourage you to watch this show with Frank, and I want you to remember when you watch it, this is a lot of propaganda. You know, they've edited me in different newspapers and things to make it look like I was saying things I didn't say. I've seen the word racismo under my face on Mexican TV all the time. Excuse me, Spanish language TV. I don't like it when it happens, but it's just a fact of being in the media. They will do it to you, so there's nothing you can do. I've had English speaking television call me anti-immigrant activist, which I'm not, and I've told them they had to print a retraction, and one TV station did. So, you know, don't believe all you see. Just be happy that our guy was there, and he is one of us. Believe me when I tell you that. Up to his neck, he's one of us, and he's a Minuteman. He's one of the people that is making this thing happen across the country, and he did this for us. So I encourage you to watch that. It's the 26th, 10, 11 p.m. on the Fox Network. All right, let's get right to the phones. Let's go to all the good folks out there. Let's go to Loretta calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Loretta, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hello, Terry. How are you?
Pretty good.
I would like to know why you think Mexicans hate us. Because last week you were talking about it, and all week long I've been thinking and couldn't come up with an answer.
I have Mexican friends, so I have an inside track now in the country of Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they tell me, Loretta.
Mm-hmm.
They believe that we stole this land from them. Not all, because a lot of Mexicans down there don't think of it. But the ones, some believe that we stole their country, that we took this country illegally, and they are taught that we bought this country from their president, who was Santa Anna at the time, mm-hmm. and he didn't have the right to sell it. Well, that's between them and him, not us. But they're angry at him, and they're angry at us, and they want their land back. And I always tell them, what are you going to do with it? You're going to turn into what's already down there and make more Mexico? Because Mexico is a beautiful place, but it's also a third world place with a bad economy. So why do you want to take this? I mean, it's paved now. We put up buildings and now you want it? It's not right. The other thing is a lot to do with race. I mean, they don't like black folks because they think black folks are inferior. Not all, but some. They don't like the white people because the white people remind them of the Spaniards who came over and conquered them. So there's a lot of reasons going on here, Loretta, and not one fits everybody.
In other words, they think that we're because, by the way, Terry, I'm African-American.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm...
Well, I won't hold it against you, I promise.
and I basically wanted to know why they may hate African... Some of them may hate African-Americans.
Well...
Because they think we're inferior.
I debated a lady once.
And?
She was from a Hispanic a racist organization here in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And she said at the debate that a young gentleman asked her, why do so many of your young men hate us black men? And she said, we are taught... In Mexico, she was from Oaxaca. She said, we are taught in Mexico that you are inferior and that we are not to trust you. And I forget her exact words. But I'll play it on the air one night. I'm going to put it on tape and get it on here so you can hear it. But she basically said, and she was being very honest, and I appreciated that. She was saying that they are basically taught that we're inferior. And that's just the way it is. So there you go.
Period.
And they come here like that. They don't get here and learn it from the white folks. They know it when they get here.
Yeah, you said that last week, so... When you're repeating it like this, it must be true.
All right, Loretta. Thank you for the call.
I like my pen, too.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you do. You take care.
I will.
All right. Let's go to Mark calling from Long Beach, California. Mark, what do you hear? What do you say?
How's it going, Terry?
Hey, buddy.
Well, you know, three quick points to allow me. One, I watched Fox News over the 4th of July, Fox Channel, and they had the national anthem in Spanish, part of it at least, and I thought that was despicable as part of their little program. Second of all, the point about this guy showing up on this show, you know, he may be one of us, but I think he's making a mistake. You can't make propaganda films for the other side.
I disagree with you, Mark, and I'm going to tell you why. You have a right to your opinion, but we have to get it out there. We have to show that there are people who object to this, and if they edited it in a way that goes against us, then so be it. But what if, you know, Frank made a good point. What if somebody else does it, and it's one of these yahoos that we don't like, or some racist who stands up and does it? It's better for them to create a show with somebody that we trust. At least they can't go on there and say something from the hip that's outrageous. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but aren't they going to portray it like this guy is one of us, and even he's being swung? They're going to, like you say, edit it in such a way to make him appear like...
Maybe, Mark, but the point is, what do we do? Never do interviews, never do TV, never write op-ed articles? You got to take a chance.
Well, this is what you do. There's a lot of artists who have the same problem, a lot of people in the media, a lot of politicians, and what they do is demand editing rights or demand that, for example, the reason Larry King's show is live is because a lot of people say, I'll go and do Larry King live because what I say will make the air. I won't be edited down.
Okay, but here's the problem. A lot of these shows will not give you those editing rights, and then you say, well, I won't go on then. Okay, what have you lost? We've lost an opportunity to try to give our part of the story. They're not going to give you editing rights. In fact, Frank told me he had to sign a contract right up front that said they can make him look bad if they want to. But he wanted to do it for the cause, so I applaud him.
That's gutsy.
It is. Mark, thanks for the call, buddy.
No problem, sir.
All right, take care. Let's go to Eileen Garcia calling from Laguna Beach. Eileen, how are you?
Hi, Terry. I'm just good, thank you. Say, Terry, I'm with a group called the Gilchrist Angels, and we're a group of dedicated women that are fighting for protecting the sovereignty of our country.
What a novel idea.
Well,
Eileen, we're losing you. Are you on a cell phone? We lost Eileen. Okay, Eileen, call us back. We hope you get back in. Let's go to Michael calling from Santa Monica. Michael, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, Terry, good to hear you, man.
Hey, buddy.
Listen, I hope all those Americans are still out there listening over those radio waves, because I wanted to ask them a question. they seem to be so interested in letting their country slip away from them. And I know that they all have a lot of compassion for the first Americans, the native people that they got this land from originally, and who also have defended it with them for the last 240 years.
We have become almost one people.
Exactly. And Americans, you know, all of us Americans, yep. But it seems that some of them are just kind of giving the country away that we fought so hard to hang on to, some of us, and we fought hard to keep it the way it is. And I know there's people that say that we stole it from them and that they want to take it back, but we know that the only way they're going to do that is by this invasion that they have here.
Right.
And you have a point that you mentioned from time to time about that third story, and I listening to you talk to Frank, and I went on the website and read his article, and they really spend a lot of time and a lot of effort to keep that third story suppressed.
Yeah, they don't want the third. Story number three, folks, and Michael, hold on. Here's story number three. Story number one is the poor, poor illegal who comes across the desert and braves all kind of tragedies to get here. Story number two is there's a poor, poor illegal who comes across the desert and braves all kind of tragedies. And by the way, there's some people that try to get him out of here. Story number three is our story. The guy who lost his job, the guy who lost his schooling, the guy who's losing his community, the guy who's got to put up with the 8-foot corn, the chickens and the goats in his neighborhood, the guy who's got to listen to the mariachi parties, the guy who's getting killed because he happens to be a different race from these people, the guy who's being displaced, lost his job, can't make a living. That's story number three, and that's the story that I guarantee you that Fox will not make.
Well, that's their problem, and they're just showing another head of that beast that's kind of suppresses us, you know. And it's,
yep.
And we got to take it on ourselves to get out there and get that third story out.
There you go. There you go.
What kind of American you are, if you're any kind of American, you got to get on it.
I agree. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, and get in there for our country. Thank you, bro.
All right, let's go to Thomas calling from Winnetka, California. Thomas, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hello, Terry. I love you. I wish we had 2,000 more just like you on TBN radio. I would like to call for the impeachment of George Bush for his refusal to enforce immigration laws.
Thomas, we get at least one of those every week. And if we were on for 3 hours, we'd probably have three or four every week.
You know, I first heard you about 2 years ago, and the first time I heard you, you called me a fool.
Did I?
For voting for George Bush.
Well, what can I tell you? My opinion hasn't changed about your vote. Maybe about you, but not about your vote.
And I felt like a fool. I just didn't feel like I had a choice. But I just have one more thing to say, if I can say it quickly. I feel so much like Americans don't know how bad the illegal alien problem is. And I wish more Americans got on the bandwagon, because these illegals eventually will be coming to their towns and their cities.
Everywhere, and, Tom. Everywhere you can run, but you can't hide. I know people that have moved back east, down south, up north, Midwest, and guess what? Their towns were eventually engulfed in this, and they got the same thing they had right here in L.A.
Oh, my, and it's horrible.
It is.
And I just feel like the only thing I hate, I feel like we're outgunned by the regular TV media that feels like illegal aliens are the best thing
and
sliced cheese.
And, Tom, that's why Frank went on and did this thing on Fox. I understand what the other caller said about, you know, you take a chance when you do, and you do take a chance. But I understand he had to do something, because we got to try every means we have to get the word out there.
I agree. And I was thinking the same thing. I was thinking he was some sellout.
No.
But I'm happy to hear it. I wasn't even going to watch the show, but I will watch the show now.
This guy is anything but a sellout. Trust me when I say that. And I don't vouch for anybody. I vouch for this guy.
Oh, great.
Tom, thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you, Terry.
You take care. Call me again.
All right.
And you're no longer a fool. All right, buddy. Take care. Let's go to Evelyn calling from Irvine, California. Ev, what do you hear? What do you say?
Oh, hi, Terry. I want to tell you a little story about something that happened to me last February, I think it was, when we went to D.C. with the Minuteman project. I was stopped and had lunch in one of the Senate buildings cafeteria. And the woman who was sitting at the cashier, she noticed a Minuteman sticker on my jacket, and she asked me what it is, and I told her, and then I went to sit down. When she had a break, this was a black worker, she came and sat down at my table, and she said that illegal aliens are working right there in that cafeteria building.
Unbelievable.
In the U.S. Senate. And then two other ladies who she called over, also black cafeteria workers, assured me that illegal aliens are working right there in that Senate building.
Unbelievable.
So the U.S. government is breaking their own laws.
Well, that's nothing new. That's what they've been doing for some time, Evelyn, especially when it comes to us Americans.
Well, it was amazing to me that they would allow them to work right there in the U.S. Senate.
It is amazing.
Okay.
Thanks for the call, Ev. You take care.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to Walter calling from Los Angeles, California. Walter, what do you hear? What do you say?
Terry, man, I didn't think I was coming on, but this is Walter calling from Fat Burger.
What's up, buddy?
How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. Long time
hey,
no
I've
hear.
Been, I've been out to, like I said, I told the producer I was walk down Broadway, walked down Hollywood Boulevard yesterday. I was out with Barbara on Highland. But I just wanted to say I checked the guide on my TV, and the show is 7 p.m. our time, Wednesday night.
Pacific.
Correct. And then it's another hour from 8 to 9 also, so it's a two-hour program.
So that must have been 10 and 11 Eastern. Here's what you folks do. You check your guide. You check your guide and make sure that it's on. Start looking at 7. Make sure you don't miss it. Get it then. And then watch the rerun so you can see it twice.
Exactly.
Exactly. Walter, I want to thank you for that.
Okay,
for that correction.
Sir.
All right, buddy. Take care. All right. Let's go to Tommy calling from Oceanside, California. Tommy, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey, my main man.
What's up, buddy?
You know, there's a story number 4 that I never hear you people talk about, and that is, I'm from Southern Cal here. 90% of the drugs that have come into the United States of America, I'm from here. I've watched lives devastated, people in prison, families destroyed. 90% of the drugs have come from our little Mexican friends in Mexico. We need to start, if we want to save this part of the country, Terry, I know we need deportation. And if they've had kids here and they're from Mexico, the children go with them. This is serious, serious. I know you understand. Most people don't understand. This is serious, serious business now. We've got to start deportation. You've got to tell these people we've got to start deporting. And if they come over here willfully and dump the kid to make it an American citizen so they can get welfare, low-income housing, go look around at all the Americans walking these streets, eating in soup kitchens.
There you go.
This is insanity we've got going.
It really is, Tommy. And we've got to wake up and start doing something about it.
And we're doing a deportation all the way.
Oh, deporting. We want everybody deported. And
well, you ain't kidding.
And we
if we want to save this country, we better do something.
All right, Tommy. Thanks for the call, buddy. Keep that fire. Keep that fire. Keep the fire. Let's go to Richard calling from L.A. Richard, what do you hear? What do you say?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I don't know if you if you watched Vista L.A. today on Channel L.A.
No, I ate breakfast. I tried to keep it down.
You should have watched it and taped it because it exposed the hypocrisy of the Mexican government. They constantly beat and abuse the illegal aliens coming in from the border.
They showed that on Vista?
Yes, I was shocked.
I was at the southern border of Mexico day before yesterday.
Yeah, because they had to cross the river, and they're always getting extorted by the police over there. They're being thrown in jail.
Yeah.
And I was told if you're 2-strike-plus illegal in Mexico, you get 6 years in prison.
Well, I was at the southern border day before yesterday, and this was at the border of Belize at a town called Chetumal. And very nice, nicest border town I've ever seen, folks. Really nice and clean, nice place. But I, as we crossed the border back into Mexico, out of Central America, I noticed gunboats sitting there in the Rio Hondo River to stop illegal immigration. That's what we need to do. We need to be tough, too. Now, I don't advocate beating anybody, but I do advocate us toughening up and guarding our border at least as good as Mexico does. We should applaud them for that, not for the beating of people, but at least for being tough on the border. You know what I mean, Richard?
Exactly. I mean, this is ridiculous. This is why, at worst case scenario, I mean, I wouldn't mind other people other than Mexicans coming across the border, but I understand how you feel, and I can respect that, but it makes me more angry at Mexicans in general that they allow this hypocrisy.
Well, the hypocrisy. And then the very things that we say we want to do, Richard, we say we want to get tough. We want to make it where it's hard for them to vote. We want to make it where they can't get welfare. We want to make it where they can't work here. Everything that we want to do, guess what? They've already done. And they say we can't do that because it's inhumane. Well, guess what? Check their constitution. You can't work down there unless you got a permit. You can't get any welfare in Mexico. You can't get any hospitalization in Mexico. You can't get any of these things. So therefore, everything that they're telling us that we shouldn't do, they are already not doing there. And we should call them on their hypocrisy and then applaud them for what they do. Gotta go, Richard. Thanks for the call, buddy. Let's go to Laverne, calling from Van Nuys, California. Laverne, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Yeah, Terry, there's a big, big boo-boo about what station that show's going to be on Wednesday night. It's FX.
FX, that's right.
Not Fox, but FX.
FX.
Channel, if you have Adelphia Cable, it's Channel 60, but it's not the Fox cable
it's FX.
Channel.
FX, that's
FX.
Right.
FX.
All right, folks, you hear what she
11
said.
11 o'clock.
All right, she said 10, 11. Somebody said 7 and 8. Let's just start at 7.
No,
make
FX.
Sure you don't miss it.
I have the TV guide right.
Yeah, but a guy just called. He has a TV guide that says something different.
No, it'll be on 10. They're trying.
Hold on, Laverne. Somebody
trying to distract.
Laverne,
I think.
Hold on. The guy is a reputable guy who just called and says it's on his TV guide at 7 o'clock.
No, it'll be 10 and 11. O'clock.
Laverne, why are you right and he's wrong?
Because I'm looking at the guide right now.
Thanks for the call, Laverne. Anyway, let's go to Eileen calling from Laguna Beach. Eileen, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hi, Terry. I am so sorry. My phone just completely went dead. I got cut off.
Not much time, Eileen.
Okay. Well, we're with the Gilchrist Angels. We're helping Costa Mesa Mayor Alan Mansoor. He's the mayor that is empowering his police department to begin checking legal status and deporting illegal aliens who commit felonies in the city of Costa Mesa.
Great.
He's the first city to implement a plan like this, and he's going to be the model for other cities all over the country. Well, Mayor Mansoor is up for re-election, and we absolutely must get him re-elected. We cannot fail on this.
I would agree.
And we have a fundraiser. The Gilchrist Angels has a fundraiser this coming Sunday, a week from today. It's a barbecue. It's going to be July 30th at 5 p.m. at Fairview Park in Costa Mesa. The donation is $25 a person or $50 a family.
That's pretty cheap.
It is very cheap, but it's also a potluck.
Okay.
For details, you can email gilchristangels@aol.com. That's gilchristangels@aol.com.
All right, Eileen. Thanks for that information. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and thank you for all that you do, Terry.
My pleasure. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Rob, calling from Long Island, New York. Rob, what do you hear? What do you say?
Hey,
not much time, buddy.
How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good.
Yeah, thanks for that blast on the handkerchief head early on your show tonight.
Well, Rob, it's true. It's true.
It's true.
And they are selling us out the same way they got us put on them slave ships to get here. They're selling us out again. Us out again for money and for whatever it is that they know that they're getting. I don't know what they're getting, but they have sold us out. And there's going to come a day, Rob, where even they are going to see it.
You made a good point when you said, had they been white, we've been up in arms.
That's right.
With the Latinos, we think somehow that they're better. And what they're going to do, they're going to bury us in this country politically, socially, economically. Well, they're doing that right now. So I hope, I even wrote Frosty Woodridge to also do some articles specifically geared towards black people. Maybe he'll do it. But I want to thank you also, Terry, for sending me all those articles. I've been getting them.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate that. I post them at this website on racerelationsabout.com. So people
I'm glad you do, Rob. There can be no race relations until we get this back to an American country.
Exactly.
I don't care what race a person is, but when you flood us with so many people that black schools and white schools turn to Hispanic schools, something is wrong. That's not natural. And where is the diversity in a 94% Hispanic high school? Where is the diversity in a 100% Hispanic high school?
I don't know.
That's what our high schools here in L.A. are now, Rob, and there's no diversity in that. They cry about diversity and multiculturalism, but that's not diversity.
Thanks.
There's no diversity. Gotta go, brother. Thanks for the call.
Peace, Terry.
Let's go to Pete calling from Paradise. Pete, what do you hear? What do you say? Not much time.
Hey, Terry, I got some numbers that'll just blow your mind here.
Let me have them.
Well, 40% of all workers in L.A. County, which has 10 million people, are working for cash and not paying taxes. This is because they're predominantly illegal immigrants.
Illegal aliens.
Yeah, 90% of warrants for murder in L.A. County are for illegal aliens. 75% of the people on the most wanted list in Los Angeles are illegal aliens.
Amazing.
Over two-thirds of all births in Los Angeles County are to illegal aliens on Medi-Cal whose births are being paid by...
Now, you know this makes you know it makes you a racist, Pete, to come on and announce those statistics. You are a racist now for just saying these things.
Well, here's a couple of more. Nearly 25% of all inmates in California detention centers are Mexican nationals here illegally, and over 300,000 illegal aliens in Los Angeles County are living in garages.
Unbelievable.
I could go on and on and on. I'm the guy who moved to Northern California. Terry, I can't be happier because I'm away from all that crap. And I don't miss it. And it's a whole different story up
there. We all may join you before it's over, Pete. Thanks for the call, buddy.
All right. Well, Terry, keep doing the good work and fighting the good fight, bro.
All right, pal. Let's go to Walter, calling from L.A. again. Walter, what do you hear? What do you say real quick?
Okay. Thanks, Terry. I just want for Laverne, I have DirecTV, and again, it's FX, channel 248. It starts at 7 p.m. Pacific, 30 days. It's
okay, now let me clarify that. You may be getting an Eastern feed on DirecTV, so she may be correct. You will see it at 7, but that's an Eastern feed that you're getting, and then it's repeated again at 11 o'clock for us. So everybody out there,
okay.
I don't want to get, I ain't mad at you. I ain't mad at Laverne.
Right.
Laverne, I ain't
LA.
Mad at you.
We'll but be watching.
Everybody start watching at 7 to make sure you don't miss it, depending on what your system is, because one time never works for all systems.
Thanks, Terry.
Well, thanks for the call. Thanks for the backup, buddy. Folks, real quick, let me read this to you. A guy was accused, a Diamond Bar resident, is one of two California men charged in federal court with using identities of dead or fictitious people to get permits to raft on the Grand Canyon River. Stephen E. Savage, 71, of Diamond Bar, has been charged with this. And these people are going to go to jail, listen to this, for getting a false permit to go on the river, $5,000 fine, and 5 years in jail for each count that they've been charged with. And listen to what this, I'm going to read this quote by our superintendent of the Grand Canyon National Park. And tell me, is this laughable? Over, his name is Joseph Alston. Quote, over 7,000 people are on a waiting list for a private river permit. It's kind of like maybe a visa, maybe, you know? Those who abuse the system do so at the expense of those who have gone through the process and have waited many years to take a trip. Can you imagine they're going to send these guys to the pen and fine them $5,000 per occurrence because they broke the law? I'm not saying they shouldn't go to jail, but what are we doing to those who break the law and invade our country? This is unbelievable. Unbelievable. I want to thank Mel Haffenfeld for bringing that in to me. Folks, I don't want you to forget our sponsor, Jonathan Rose Capital Gold Group, .com. That's safestgold.com. The number is 1-800-510-9594. And I want you to stick around for my good buddy, Loris Rascala, live tonight. Loris wants to know how often do you get to give your opinion? What you think about what's going on in the Middle East and what should be done? Boy, I bet she's got 1,000 calls on that. She talks with writer of the Iraq model in Iraq, about Iraq, Israel, and the United States. And listen to this one. You're going to love this. This is a nice rhyme she made up. I don't know if it was intentional. Is the ACLU's forcing us its religion on the rest of us? What you can do to stop the ACLU? That's good stuff. Stick around for Loris Rascala Live coming on right after the Terry Anderson Show. I want to thank Mike Reed, Engineer Deluxe, and those people in Las Vegas at K-Don. Folks, give the folks at Beasley Broadcasting a call. The number is 239-263-5000. That's 239-263-5000. Tell them you want us to keep us on. This may be our last week. Maybe next week will be our last week in Vegas. I hope we can keep the station. It's going to be a tough call for us. We'll have to see. We don't know what's going on there. And the bad part about it is they're not calling us back. We have put in calls to them, but they haven't said a word. We'll see what happens. Don't forget our good buddy, Childress Automall, 22nd Avenue, Camelback, Mike Reed for doing the show tonight, Mel Haffenfeld for taking your calls. We want to thank everybody. Remind you, we need you up to stay on the air, folks. Send your donation to the Terry Anderson Show, 3940 Laurel Canyon Boulevard, number 643, Studio City, California, 91604. And read This Week with the Swings. Really great stuff. These guys have been writing exclusively for us. This week they got Collateral Damage and God equals MC Squared. Great stuff. This Week with the Swings. They write for us every week, and we really, really, really appreciate that. Don't forget those three websites that we talk about. We want you to use frequently, folks. The TerryAnderson.com, of course. TerryAndersonShow.com. And don't forget our good buddy Juan Man at DeportAliens.com. And for the up-to-date information on the illegal alien invasion, go to Glenn Spencer's webpage, AmericanPatrol.com. This is Terry Anderson for the All-American Radio Network saying we will be back again next week, as usual, attempting to articulate the popular rage. Good night, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Gold, ever climbing, as the dollar continues to spiral into a free fall. How long before it hits rock bottom? Between 1800 and 1913, the value of the dollar was more or less constant. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, the value of the dollar has depreciated 97%.
Due to global inflationary policies and the continued erosion of the U.S. dollar, gold and silver are still in the early stages of the greatest bull market the world has ever seen. Whether you purchase precious metals to stabilize your portfolio or you're looking for strong growth, gold and silver will provide you with both. Don't you owe it to yourself to do business with Republic Trading Group? Call us today and become a part of the raging bull in gold and silver. 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898. Call now. 1-800-691-7898.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.